You guys have a good week?
Well, for those on vacation, I was obviously right. You know?
Praise the Lord.
So you don't know if you had a good week or not, huh? Maybe see what next week brings. Maybe this week will be a good week after next week, maybe, huh? You never know where his Lord is. His Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? You know how much he loves you. Wow. Jamie's devotion was pretty cool. I guess I really didn't even need to come up to preach this morning, actually. Just had to think about what she said. God is so big, and we are so small, and he loves you. Isn't that cool?
He loves you.
And you know what? He loves you just the way you are.
That's good. Isn't that a relief?
Isn't that a sigh of relief? He loves you just the way you are. Huh? See a sign out front this morning? What's it say? Never stop praying. Huh? I want to talk about prayer. A couple weeks ago, I talked about, you know, we looked at Genesis here. It says, God says, is anything too hard? Is anything? No. The answer to that question is, no, nothing is too hard for our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's just see where he's going to take us this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. We're looking for you to show up this morning, Father. We're looking for you to be in our midst this morning. We're looking for the power of your Holy Spirit to just infuse us and empower us and just open our hearts and our minds to what your word has to say. Father, we're looking for you this morning. We're looking for you. We want you to be here in our midst. We are nothing without you. And we know that, Father. Just impress your word upon every heart and every ear and every mind here this morning, Father. And Father, we can just look to you and know that you are God. You love us. We just praise you and thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we love, we pray. Amen.
Cool. It was a wet week, wasn't it? You guys worked outside all week? Kind of wet, wasn't it? Man.
You know it rained pretty good and you got something done when you go home and your socks are wet. That's cool. That is so cool. To go in the house and your socks are wet. You know you got wet, right? Isn't that cool? We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18 this morning. Missed you guys. I was off there a couple weeks ago. I had to go. We went down and saw Renee and her husband's new house and spent the day with them Sunday. And then last week I had a little bit of sniffly something, and I figured I better stay away from everybody. No, I don't have the COVID. Sorry. I think I already did, but it is what it is. No, it's just that time of year, you know. You're outside. I work outside all the time. You get wet. You get cold. You get stuff. So, anyway, we're going to look into Luke chapter 18. It's going to tie in with some stuff. I guess I wanted to continue on a little bit from what I preached a couple weeks ago, just to kind of lay this out a little bit. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, this is a lot of stuff going on. Jesus is talking to disciples. I just want you to see something here. I want you to see something here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Also, it says, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn, and the Amplified says, turn coward. Faint. Lose heart. Give up. Wow. What's a parable? What's a parable? Story, right? Sometimes parables are, they're things laid out side by side. Maybe we can see something. Jesus told his disciples, hey, I tell them parables so they don't see it. Only those that I want to see it. It's that kind of deal. It's a parable. And interestingly enough, the reason for this parable, he tells us why, right? A lot of times we don't get anything. The parable just it goes on. This says he tells them his parable so that they won't give up praying. And when you look at the word for prayer, what is it? We all know, talking to God, right? You ever have somebody you've been around and you just like to talk to? Husbands, wives, spouses. I mean, you know, just somebody you really can talk to, right? And if something you see something, you want to say something to them, you just talk, right? This is today's sermon title is the attitude of prayer. We have to have an attitude of prayer. I come up with this, I guess the word now is tude. My grandkids have tudes. That means they got an attitude about something, whatever that is, you know what I'm saying? My first time I heard like, dude, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Well, that's because they got an attitude. They got enough attitude for themselves, don't need any of mine. That's what they tell me. It's okay. Cool. That doesn't go very far, obviously. But I thought to myself, you know, do we tell God that? I got an attitude right now. Don't talk to me. We're we're to have an attitude of prayer. Attitude of gratitude, you heard that. What's that mean? You think about it a lot. You're grateful for the things you have. Having an attitude of prayer means you're in prayer constantly. The Bible tells us to pray consistently all the time, right? Without ceasing. Always pray, 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 right? Prayer is a conversation with God. Simple enough. So if we're going to talk to God all the time, we're in attitude of prayer. Isn't that cool? Pretty simple, isn't it? He's telling them here to not lose heart. Just pray all the time. Pray over it. Do you pray over everything? Do you pray over your morning cereal? I do. Tell the Lord, thank you for the cereal, Father. I enjoy my cereal in the morning. It's quiet. I enjoy that. Half hour of just eating my cereal. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I enjoy that. Thank you for that. Something simple. I thank you for, you know, the sun's shining today. Isn't that cool? It's not raining. That's something simple, right? Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for it. And when it's raining, I think, man, this is cool. Put my raincoat on and get out there and just slop around in the mud. Lay right down in it. Just that dummy that I just lay right down in it. It's great, isn't it? This is great. You know, it's just temporary. You get wet. You warmed up. It is what it is. We're supposed to have an attitude of prayer. I don't want to beleaguer this very much. I just want to continue on here. Jesus said, I got a question for you. Do you think Jesus, when he told prayer, was like, well, you know, you got this thing. And you think he was like that? I mean, I'm thinking, when you tell a story, you go, well, you know, is that how you tell a story? Listen, guys, go on. Listen, I got to tell you something. You know, I'm thinking that's Jesus. I'm thinking, dude, you've got to listen to what I got to say here. Come on, listen, listen. I think he's a little excited. So listen, listen. In a certain city, there was a judge who never reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. This guy didn't care what God thought. He didn't care what man thought. He did what he wanted to do. Didn't care. Wow, didn't fear God. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. So there's this widow. If you start looking at the Greek in this, this widow had a problem with someone in law. There was something going on. Now, she's a widow, so obviously her husband had passed away. Maybe something's going on with his property. I don't know. It doesn't say. He's just saying, there's something going on. This judge is able to rule in her behalf or against her, one way or the other. This judge is an unjust, non-God-fearing individual. And this widow keeps coming to him and says, protect me. Give me justice. Avenge me. Does your Bible say avenge me? Say avenge me? Yeah. Most Bibles say avenge me. This word for avenge here is kind of interesting because it's like, okay, avenge me. Come on, avenge me. You know what? He's going to get beat up. That's avenge me. Okay, got that word. And verse 4. And for a time, he would not. It doesn't say how long. My Bible doesn't say how long. When you look up the Greek in these words, it's a part of time. It could be an age. It could be anything. It's just time. Time. We don't know. Maybe it was a day. Maybe it was 10 years. Maybe it was 20 years. We don't know. But for a time, he wouldn't do anything for her. But later, he says to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, verse 5, yet because this widow continues to bother me, she's a pest. You have grandkids that are pests? No, I call them. You have any like that? I got grandkids that, come on. Let's go play soccer out in the field. Okay. I'm old, you know that, right? Oh, I did. We played soccer out in the field. Had a good time. My leg hurt for a week. Kicking that ball. I was like, my leg hurt for a week. Yeah, she was a pest. He says, this widow is a pest. She just continues to bother me. Okay. He says, well, I guess I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance. I like that. Intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming. Or, at the last, she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. Now, that's what the Amplified says. Your Bible just says she's going to wear him out, right? Huh? When you bring up this Greek word for wear out, it's only used two times in the New Testament. Paul's saying, I put my body under subjection. I buffet my body. It means to hit somebody right under the eye. Give them a black eye. This judge is saying, dude, if I don't do something, this woman's wearing me down. She's going to beat me up. She must have been a tough little thing, I suppose. Huh? I thought, wow. But yeah, he's afraid of getting beat up by an old woman. He's a judge. Because she kept coming back. She kept coming back. She didn't quit. She kept coming back. She kept coming back before that judge's throne and coming back and saying, listen, I want this. I need this. I got to have something with it. I need this. When we prayed, did we give up? Oh, God ain't going to answer that one. I'm going to do something myself. Isn't that what we do? Huh? Isn't that what we do? I'm going to do something myself. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. So, verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what this guy says. The Amplified is an exclamation point behind that. Listen to what this dude said. Listen to him. He don't fear God. He don't fear man. He does what he wants. He doesn't care what people think about it. But because this woman is persistent, I guess I'll do something for her. Well, verse 7. Will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones? Will he defer them and delay and help and help and delay help on their behalf? He says, Jesus says, God is just. He is God. He listens to every little problem you have. He remembers them. He don't forget. He says, if this unjust guy is capable of doing this, what about a God who loves you? You are chosen. You're one of his children. He loves you with a never-ending, never-stopping, never-dying love. How much more will he do something for you? Huh? And the word for your revenge in the Greek, it's not the same word as avenge as what the just and the woman wanted. This word means to do it. This word means you are going to overcome your adversary and you're going to do God's will. Isn't that great? We're not looking to see somebody get beat up, are we? Well, maybe that one guy this week. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. I'd like to see him just really get what he... See, you guys aren't like me. I'm that way sometimes. I'm not spiritual all the time. I'm driving in traffic in Cleveland. And traffic is bad and people are stupid. They are. It is. They are. Okay. It's just easy. It's just like sometimes, what are you thinking? You could die. 70 mile an hour traffic and you stop in the middle of the road. You could die! You think, boy, I don't know. Let's keep going. Enough for my stupidity. Verse 8. I tell you, this is Jesus talking. I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. All right. My time's not his time, right? We live in a microwave prayer world, don't we? You take some food out of the fridge, you whip it in the microwave, 2 minutes later it's nice and hot and we eat it, right? Huh? In that way, we want to pray something, we want to see God do something, and it's done. Ah, gosh. Go on to the next problem. Huh? God don't work that way. God's more of the slow cooker. He's like you put that thing in there for 6 or 8 or 10 hours and just let it slow come together. That pot roast, you know, and that cooker, you know what I'm saying, with all the vegetables and stuff. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. All that stuff. Everybody's looking like, yeah, what we have for dinner, huh? Yeah. God's that kind of a God. He likes to put everything together. It's got to kind of come together. It's got to take, there's some things that come together. And when it all comes together, it will. But it's not always the way we want it. And then we step in and say, well, if you're not going to do something, then I will. Wow. You know who you're talking to? You go see that big old ocean, you're like, man, there's a lot of water out there. And when you walk on in, it's like, this is a lot of water. Huh? He's a big God. And God says in his word, he says, you know what? I set boundaries for you. You can only come so far. I set boundaries for you. That's the God you're talking to. What's the rest of that verse say? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistent faith on the earth? When Christ comes, is he going to find some people that give up? Is he going to find some people that prayed about something a couple of times so well? God's obviously not answering my prayers. Obviously. He must hate me. He must. Did you see what happened yesterday? He's got to hate me. Do you see how I feel today? He's got to hate me. Thanks, God. Thanks a lot. Huh? I'm dealing with a person like that right now. Yeah. Hates God. Because God hates him. It's like, what? I don't hate you. What on the stuff of my life is terrible. Well, yeah, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the human race. We've all got stuff. If you got trouble in your life, you are a card-carrying member of the human race. Isn't that cool? Everybody else got the same problem, right? This is not really doing anything for you, is it? Praying without ceasing, this is not doing a thing, is it? Like, I just, yeah. Huh? Let's look at a couple things. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Where we're going, four books to the left of Matthew is a little teeny book called Zephaniah. They got Malachi, Zechariah, you got Haggai, and you got Zephaniah. Kind of a cool name, Zephaniah. Zephaniah means he whom the Lord has hidden. Zephaniah was great-great-great-grandson of a king. He writes us three little chapters here. There's a couple verses here I want you to look at. And in chapter 3, Zephaniah chapter 3, we'll start in verse 14. It says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice. Be in your high spirits. Wow. And glory with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Wow. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Sounds like a good time. For then it will be that the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord himself, is in the midst of you. 15. He's in the midst of you. After he has come to you, you shall not experience or fear evil anymore. Verse 16. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hand sink down, or be slow and listless. And verse 17 is the one I want you to look at. The Lord your God is in the midst of you. The Lord your God, Jehovah Elohim, is in the midst of you. He's in the midst of you. It says what? A mighty one. He's a big one. He's a big one. He's big. He's bigger than any problem you got in your life. He's big. Mighty one. A savior. The Hebrew emphasis on this word savior is a continual, not right now, it's continual, all the time, ever-present saving. Ever-present saving. Look back over your life. You already get, there's a lot of times you look and say, nah, I probably shouldn't have lived through that. You ever have that experience? I probably really shouldn't be here right now. You ever have that experience? And you wonder, why am I here? I guess God's got work for you to do, right? He does. This God, this mighty one, he's in our midst. Look at this. He will rejoice over you with joy. What? You don't know me very well. I'm a pretty filthy guy. I was that guy got beat up last week. Remember that? I'd have helped, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I'd have helped, right? Wow. God says, I'll rejoice over you. And the word here says, go on, this verse says, he will rest in silent satisfaction in his love. You'll be silent. Make no mention of your past sins. You hear what that's saying?
the God of the universe, the God who controls the ocean, the God who controls the cosmos. I mean, if you look at the ocean, it's big, but look at the cosmos. They don't even know how many stars is out there. They keep finding stuff all the time. This thing is so big that nobody can contain it. God just spoke it in the Word, and it was there. That's God. That same God is in our midst. That's good to know, isn't it? That makes me feel pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I feel pretty good. He's in our midst, right? And you know what? He's going to joy over me. He's joyful over me. The pathetic wretch that I am, He is joyful over me. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that make you excited a little bit? He's joyful over you. And He says, because of my love, I wrote this down. Here is emotion on as high a plane as it can ever be seen. Emotion flowing out of the heart of God Himself. God loves you so much, He's not going to bring up your past sins. When you ask Him to forgive you, He forgets. Why can't I? He forgets. And what's the last part of this thing? This verse say, He will exalt over you with singing. Can you imagine God singing over me? Isn't that funny? That's funny, isn't it? Why in the world would He ever sing over me? I'm a nobody. Huh? I even got a song to prove it, a nobody. Huh? God loves me. You know what? He loves you the same. He loves you the same. He doesn't love me anymore than He does you. He doesn't love you anymore than He does me. He loves us all. We're His children. He loves us. How much does He love us? Wow, He's going to joy over me? He's not going to bring up my faults? He's going to sing over me? Can you imagine how awesome that'll be? He's going to sing over you. Isn't that cool? You guys ain't feeling it, are you? Okay. Let's go back to Isaiah. And we'll stop at Isaiah 55. I got just a couple verses I want to read to you here. Isaiah 55. You know, God gave us His Word, right? This is the Word of God, right? Wrote it down, penned it down. You guys read it every day? Are you in it every day? Are you studying it every day? He took the time to write it down. I think about 1,500 years to get this thing put together. It's a long time. Longer than I've been alive. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and return not there again, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing an effect, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's saying, hey, you ever see the rain come down? The grass don't grow without rain, right? Crops don't grow without rain. Snow is a poor man's nitrogen, right? We've all heard that for a farmer. Yeah, a lot of snow is a good thing for a farmer, right? Yeah, it's like a liquid. God's putting liquid nitrogen on His crops out there. Snow, it's a good thing. Rain, has to have rain. God says, as that rain affects the earth, so does my word. My word will not return to me void. So when I get a verse of Scripture that says, is anything too hard for God? Wow. Is anything too hard for God? Can I believe it? Can you believe it? Yeah. You think, that's great for you, Matt, but you don't know my situation. God really don't like me. He don't like me. I don't do what He wants me to do. I got this thing that I do, He just doesn't like me. Let's go to Isaiah 49. I want to show you something. Isaiah 49, I'm going to start in maybe verse 13. A lot of praise stuff here. You know, sing, sing, sing. You know, we come in here in the morning and we sing and praise and worship. You know, praise and worship team gets here, practice. And we got some pretty awesome singers. I'm not talking about myself. These ladies are really starting to step it up. I'm really impressed. They're starting to make me look bad, and that's a good thing. Huh? It is a good thing. Because then I can step back and let them sing more, see? Huh? That's cool, right? That's cool. And I think, God just keeps using people and
using people and empowering people and using people. And it's like, this is so cool. And I look at this, Isaiah chapter 49. Let's read this, verse 13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. He's saying, you know what? The heavens, the earth, the mountains, you all about just start singing. Huh? For the Lord has comforted his... what's that say? For the Lord has comforted his people, and you have compassion upon his afflicted. It says the Lord has comforted his people. What does comfort mean? It sure ain't laying out in a water puddle getting wet, right? That don't seem real comfortable to me. It's not. But it says the Lord will comfort his people. The Lord will give us comfort in our situations. That peace, that joy. Maybe that we shouldn't even have joy. I shouldn't be excited as I am, but I am. Huh? Megan this morning says, you got too much energy. I do. Isn't it cool? Isn't it cool? That's his fault, not mine, so you can't blame me. It's his. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Obviously, they had some problems going on, right? You ever been in a situation like that when you're saying, God, do something, please? Nothing happened. It's like silence. Well, he must hate me. Is that where we go? He's God. God's timing is perfect. Ours is not. God's timing is perfect. Ours is not. So for me to say, why ain't you doing something? I think he's telling me, why don't you pray a little bit more? Let's talk about it. And after you pray for 20, 30 years, and you don't get an answer, would you give up? Call it quits? Would you quit? No. What's the next verse in this chapter say? The Lord answered, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? I mean, a mother, could you forget your child? He answers the question down there. Yep. They may forget. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That's hard to believe. He says, yep, they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. This is the God of the universe saying, you know what? Everybody else might leave you down, but I will not forget you. I will not forget you. What's verse 16 say? Behold, I have indelibly imprinted... This word for imprinted means a tattoo, a picture of. Listen to this. Behold, I have imprinted a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. This is the God of the universe who spoke the world into existence. He knows just exactly what you look like. And to make sure that he doesn't forget, he has tattooed your picture on the palm of his hand. Isn't that something? Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that make you think, man, he knows me. He's got a picture of me on the palm of his hand. He can't forget you. You are in the palm of his hand. A picture is in. You're on God's refrigerator. Look at that one. That's a good one there. Huh? You know what? Look at that one. That's a good one. Huh? You're on God's refrigerator. Got you on the palm of the hand. He can't forget you. When your prayers don't seem like they're getting answered, he's still working on them. When it doesn't seem like he's doing a thing, he's still working on them. When it doesn't seem like nothing good's going to happen, it's going to be bad, he's still working on them. He says, your walls are continually before me. Zion's walls have been destroyed. God says, I won't forget you. I've imprinted, I've tattooed your picture on my hands, and I remember that. And I'll never forget. Isn't that cool? Can you understand when he says, don't give up in prayer? Don't stop praying. Don't give up, guys. Don't give up on prayer. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. Because I don't know what you look like. I got a picture of you on my hands. huh? You're on my refrigerator. I got a big refrigerator. Huh? Can you understand? God, when He loves you so much, I don't have any tattoos. I got a lot of scars. A lot of scars. God says, I tattooed you on the palm of my hand. I heard a story. Kind of a strange story, but it's a true story. There was a guy going down the street, and there was a grandmother was out in the yard, and two-story apartment building was on fire, and her grandson was up there, and couldn't get him out of the fire. This guy stopped. He actually climbed the outside of the building, burned his hands really bad, but he actually saved the little boy. That's pretty cool. That's a cool story, isn't it? That's cool. 3 months later, the grandmother passed away. They have a court thing. Then the judge has a court thing. Find out what they want to do with this little boy. The people there say, we'll take him. The man with the hands that were scarred was there. He said, I'll take him. Every time he sees those scarred hands, he's going to know that I loved him first. Wow. Our God. The God of the universe. He's got scars on his body to let you know that he loved you first. He's got scars. I think that's going to be the only man-made thing in heaven. The scars on our Lord and Savior. His hands, his side, his feet. Crown of thorns, he's going to be in heaven. And even on top of that, he said, I got your picture tattooed on my hand. That cool? Why would you ever give up praying to somebody that loves you that much? Why? Good Lord, prayer. Oh, Father. Why would we ever give up, Father? Dear God. You're so awesome and impressive. There's just no words to describe how awesome you are. And you love us enough, as wretched as we are, you have tattooed our pictures on your hand. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to understand, Father, that you love us that much. You went to that cross to die for our sin. You're here to listen to our problems, be with us, comfort us, give us strength, bring us through the situations that we deal with in our everyday life. Still love us, and you're God. It's amazing, Father. It just amazes me that you love us that much. There's just no words for it. Father, just impress upon our hearts this morning that don't ever give up in prayer. Don't ever give up. Believe that you're going to be doing something. You are. Even when it doesn't look like anything's happening, we know you're working, Father. We know you're there. We just praise you. We thank you. Father, we just love you. And Father, thank you for loving us. Father, press upon my heart this morning. Pray for this nation, Father. We have a lot of problems. And Father, as Daniel prayed, Father, we are sinners and we know we are, but you are God. Father, we'd ask a special blessing upon this nation, on these peoples, Father, as we come to this voting schedule we have coming up, Father, Tuesday, Father, we would just go out and vote, and Father, and just praise you in it. Ask you for wisdom. Ask you for guidance. Ask you for who you want. I just love to vote, Father, just to see if I can guess the man you put in there. I praise you. Give us a heart for that, Father. Just give us a heart that, Father, that your hand and your love is poured out upon this nation. Father, we can turn from our wicked ways, and Father, we can look to you. Power, for wisdom, for guidance, for comfort. Father, we just ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray. Amen. Lord's good, isn't he? Yes, he is. Lord is good. We're going to have a time now. We always have a prayer time after the sermon. Praise band's going to come forward. Elder's going to come forward. These men coming forward, it's their privilege to pray for you. It's their privilege. They're not any closer to God than you are, but it's their privilege to pray for you. They're anointed men that have came before the church. God has placed here leaders, spiritual guides to love you. Isn't that cool? Because they want to show you the love of God. If there's anything you need prayer for this morning, it's a physical healing, we're going to pray for that. If it's an emotional healing, we're going to pray for that. If it's just you want an unspoken request, we'll pray for that. This is your time. Come before the throne. The Lord is going to pray for you. We'll listen to the song.
Remember your people, remember. through all my gibberish. Doing a great job. That is wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh. I'm really glad you were here today.
Me too. Yeah. Present and accounted for. This is that program, Paranormal. It's got a screwy thing. I have to remember where I keep it to give. This is one of the three. This one, All My Soul, and Father's House. So as long as you're listening to these three, we've done this one once.
But it kind of I was here.
Yeah. Okay. We did it. It went well, and then when we came back to do it again, I had done some weird transposing. But this is not how I do it. So I just got a show on the website to see which one. But one of these three, one of those three is probably we're going to start trying to do. If Julie's here, this one, because she plays a big part in that. So get a few minutes, we'll let everybody sort. You and I can lessen up. Can you put the actual name of that? Is that the Christmas song or whatever the actual name is, and then I'll pull it up and I'll learn.
Yes, because I gave her a copy of it. I printed off even the words and all that, but I printed off. It's like Terry Comer, or I think it's called there's another version of it too, but Terry Comer's one of
If it's piano score, no big deal for her, but I haven't read piano score in a while.
It's just the words.
Just the words? Okay. Like then if I get the song name, then I'll pull off a friendly version.
I'll make sure we copy it
and give you
a copy of it. Because it's Piano Score, The Fresh Out, Horn Upon the Stairs, It's for Harold Angels in the Night.
You remember that? 6 years, huh?
Have you heard
Oh, that's good. Do you have a yearly checkup? Is it time for that? You're down to yearly. Just had it? So they told you were still honoring. Right? She's shaking her head. Yeah, he's still honoring.
Christmas as the letter. And so we're going to
So I'm going to do my best, but my job changed. I'm in Columbus now. And I'm there like 12 hours a day.
Program is
so I'm going to talk to her because it's kind of hard for me to get. I leave at 4:30 in the morning and I get home at like 6 at night right now, 5:30. So I am doing my best. If we have to and this persists, it might be something that we have to do it on a Sunday just because I'm falling down tired in the week now. This is like my third week there. So. But if that persists, then I'll find a way for us to hang out. So I am so glad to hear. When you go back, give the doctor a swift kick. Tell him a good job.
We had
a lot today. We had a whole lot.
It was the best.
Really? So whatever you're doing, you're supposed to keep doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see
that.
Yeah, things go better when you let him drive the train. Seems to be the case. He's proven that in my life again and again. Whenever I let him, quote unquote, let him keep control.
Oh, you want to see my
watch? Yeah, I'm glad for that.
You know what? If you touch it and listen for that.
Uh-oh.
Jesus Christ. It's funny.
Oh, is that a trick we know how to do?
Well,
I don't know what, so, yes, sir. I don't know what she's... She's doing something on the iWatch. I don't know. I can't keep up with all that technology. Really? Huh.
It doesn't turn up no louder. It doesn't turn up no louder. It doesn't. It's just one sound. 1 mile, that's it. Oh, there she laughed. Did you hear? She giggled at you. have many maps on my watch, and when you hit her, she'll tell you the time. So he likes it. He's showing them everything. And they like that. What am I doing today? Taking down Halloween decorations? Oh, I don't know. I'm excited.
I think you walk around.
You want to turn off the other one? You want to turn off the other one?
Hi.
Sure. Hello.
Thank you.